And I've got a word for you. And I'm going to start sharing in Psalm 107. And I didn't give any notes up there. But Psalm 107, verses 27 through 43 in the New Living Translation, the NLT. And I think I have a timely word here. Psalm 107, starting with verse 27 in the New Living Translation. The word says this: they reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. I want to preach tonight a thought. Are you at your wits' end? I've never seen more people in the last 3 years that were at their wits' end. Does everybody know what that means, to be at your wits' end? It means like I can't take not one more thing. Everything is so terrible. I want to tell you, that's a time of great hope and blessing and turnaround. When you come to the end of a thing, right around the corner is a new beginning. No matter how things look. And I just want to ask you tonight, are you at your wit's end? And if you are, we're going to talk about what we should do about that in the next few minutes of time. Once again, verse 27, they reeled and staggered like drunkards, and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. I know God can do this. I know that God can do anything. Just recently, we've seen God instantly answer prayer. Take that microphone and let's go see Mary Baker for a minute. This last, I don't know what, Monday night, whenever the tornadoes was that Monday? Mm-hmm. We were at my house. It was so bad. Mary was home alone. And come on up here if you can, Mary. And was going to stay at our house till the danger passed. And we were watching Channel 4029, Darby Bybee. You ever watch him? And he was saying just how terrible it was. And that thing got to about Charleston. It just started coming down Highway 22. And it was bad. And as it was closing in on Paris, I thought about this building. And more than that, I thought about how many people go here to this church. And I was sitting there, and I never got up. I was sitting in my chair, and I just put my fist up, and I said, in the name of Jesus, stop right now, you wicked, foul storm. This is not of God. This is not what God wants. God does not want his people hurt. And Darby Bybee, at the same time, tell him what he said.
He started saying, I've never seen this before. Well, I don't understand this. The tornado went in a totally different direction.
It went north.
It just went somewhere else, but it was right after he said his prayer, and then we've seen him, and then he goes to the door, and he opens, I got to tell this funny part, too. He goes to the front door, and he's going to hallelujah, and he opens the door, and all of a sudden, kaboom, and he goes, ah! But that was just wonderful.
How many of you know when you take something away from the devil, he doesn't like it? How many of you know you were your purpose of your life is to take away from the devil?
Amen.
I want to make that clear. God didn't answer my prayer, and I was not the only one praying. But I was praying while Darby was being a weather guy, and right when I said that in the name of Jesus, that storm lifted and it went north. She didn't know north, south.
It went somewhere.
It went north.
It went away from where he was telling you.
Went away.
And that's what it
now, did. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering. That happens all the time. That doesn't just that's not a freak thing. That's an everyday thing. See, we're here to teach you and everybody else in here how to get their prayers answered like never before. God wants to answer your prayer. Give me your hand right now. What's your name again?
Gail.
I thought it was something with an M, but I was wrong. Millie, come on over here with me, sweetie. Miss Gail, you're a blessing here already. Are you at your wit's end or are you okay right now? Okay. How many of you in this room, you're at your wit's end? Come on, tell the truth. Put your hand up if you're at your wit's end. Okay. I want my wife to pray with you. And Miss Gail, I want you to tell her what it is. And if you have to whisper it in her ear, just whatever. You just talk to her.
Now you're working in her situations and circumstances, Father, and you know the end of a thing from the beginning, Father, and all things work to good, Father. We just thank you that you're working in her life, Father, and it's going to work to good, Father, and you're going to help her, Father, and you're with her, and you're going to lead her and show her which way to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to give everybody a chance to pray. What do you do when you're at your wit's end? And I'm just going to start from the beginning again. We'll be out of here on time. And we got lots of goodies for you in there, as Pastor Kelly said. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wit's end. They had all they could take. In modern speaking, Popeye says it best. I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. Whether you put your hand up or not, you're going to get a chance to talk to God about terrible things that happen in people's families, with people's children, with people's finances, with people's everything. You're going to have a chance to pour your heart out in just a few minutes. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. I'm telling you, one moment in one service can change if you can touch God, if you can be honest, if you can touch God. If you can ask God, there's certain things that should happen during communion. You should ask God, is there something in my life that I should be working on, that you're trying to work on? You should be asking that privately. That's why we make it a private moment. There should be other things. If you're in distress, you should share that with God. Over the years, we have seen God heal instantly many times in the service. A couple of Sunday nights ago, my granddaughter, Bella, Casey's daughter, came in with welts on her arm. And before the service was over, they were gone. That's just normal. What's abnormal is when nothing happens. In that same service, Brenda McElhaney was having trouble in both of your shoulders. That one, your right shoulder, and it lifted in that service. I don't think she'd lie. I've known her for many years. I don't think she'd lie about that. I'm wanting God to do something for you in this service if you need it. How many of you would say this here? If possible, I want God to do something for me in this service by the show of your hands. Okay. Me too. Me too. I think we've got more sadness than we've ever had. I have a large family. My heart is broken over some things. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. That's verse 29. Verse 30, what a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. You ever just say, I wish everything could just, sometimes I shut everything off. All I want to hear is God. I just want to be still. I just want to feel his comfort, his presence, and his direction, and his encouragement. God encourages me. Let them praise the Lord for his great love. This is part of how you get there. You cry out to the Lord. I think church people, over the years what I've seen, their whole life could be being messed up and they don't want to, everything's cool with me. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. How many of you here tonight can remember some of the last wonderful things that God has done for you? It hasn't been too long ago. Yes. I can remember so many. This ordeal, when I took this fall, finally one of the guys that we delivered to on route, I was walking away from his house, and he said, Brother Angelo, he said, your hair is growing back. I said, yeah, I know. I am so happy. Let them, verse 31, praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. I think a great exercise is when you're petitioning God, when everything is going wrong, that you remember the last great thing that he did for you, and that you begin to thank him for that, and that you begin to count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Verse 32, let them, the people that God is helping, exalt him publicly before the congregation. That's what testimony service is all about. Many times Pastor Kelly will ask, do you have a testimony? Because, see, that's worship. A testimony is worship. It's giving glory to God. And it's saying, I perceive and I remember. I know God has helped me. I know I didn't help myself. I told this recently. I have a game that I play on my phone. I play it all the time just to be passing the time sometimes. And the other day, I just got a revelation. I said, Father, thank you, because you helped me to play this game good. I see that. You helped me in everything. When I've got to back up that trailer, I guarantee you, I was praying in tongue, and I was crying out to God today when we were taking that truck with a 6-foot-tall pallet of bananas standing out there in the wind. I was shandying all I could. I said, Dwayne, don't say a word unless you're praying. Oh, I was never so happy to see that gate open up. And I said, if I can just turn this thing around and back it in, I'm going home, and I'm going to find me something to eat. I'm just going to, I've had, but God helped me. God helps me many times every day. God helps me many times every day because I've got to the point I have to be leaning on the everlasting arms all the time. I don't want to try to do something by myself. And me and Millie, We're having a great time in our lives. She's retired now also. We start most mornings with a Bible study, time of prayer. I recommend everyone in this room try to do that somehow. While you're driving, while you're doing something, try to get a hold of God. Because John, I think chapter 14 says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, God has overcome for you. He's overcome so that you can apply his victory in your case, in your life. Sister Kaylee, how are things since the other night? I want you to do something. Whatever's left that needs to be done, I want you to ask him for that tonight. I want you to ask him for it. If you don't feel like a peace about it, you don't feel like it's been done, when should you stop praying for something? When you get a peace about it. Not when you see it, when you get a peace about it. For we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, not by sight. We walk by faith. In other words, we walk by what we believe God is going to do. We don't walk by what it looks like Satan's doing. Because Satan's history. He's already history. There's more good things? Good. Is there anything left? I think there's a few things left. I'm going to pray about that one thing. That one thing. Many times, most of the time, I say, what's the top thing? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think that's one of the top things right now. May I pray? May I pray out loud?
Absolutely.
Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for this young woman right now. Out of her own heart, help her, God. For the sake of her children. In other words, help her in such a way that it mostly helps her children, Father, more than anything else. Lord, I don't know anything in the natural, but you know everything in every realm that there is, and bring everything to power. Bring everything to victory in Jesus' name. For Kaylee, I ask. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's read a little bit more here. In verse 33, Psalm 107, 33, he changes rivers into deserts. Now, follow me all the way through with this. He changes springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live therein. Verse 35, but he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into springs of water. I want to say something to you. If you're leading your family into living for Christ the best that you can, it doesn't matter what's happening to your neighbors. I never felt I had to be in debt just because everybody else was in debt. Millie and I are not in debt. We have not been in debt for many, many years. And what he do for one, he'll do for all. And God would rather you lend than have to borrow. Verse 35, but he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, they plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them, They raise large family there, large families there, and their herds of livestock increase. When they decrease in number and become impoverished through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt on their enemies, is what it really means here, their princes, causing them to wander in trackless wastelands. But he rescues the poor from trouble and increases their families like flocks of sheep. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all of this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of God. I have been young, and I'm starting to age. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have not one example. I have never seen their children having to beg for bread. I've never seen that in my life. Since 1971, this is 51 years of having God process my life and working out my salvation with him. And he's a good God. And he's a kind God. And he wants to help you. And he wants to help you tonight. Away with those messages about he's going to help you in the sweet by and by. I'm very anxious at what God is going to do for you tonight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 28 in the King James translation of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11, at this part, is the part where we're about to take communion, where the Apostle Paul is teaching on communion, what it means, what it's for. There is no practice in the Bible that is just a religious practice that has no meaning. There is nothing like that in the Word. But let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. Let a woman, let people examine their self, and then let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Say this to you. There are reasons that things go wrong. Sometimes they go wrong because the devil is in this world. Jesus Christ himself said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations are going to come up. But the Lord asks us to examine our hearts before we take communion. Sometimes we've done something that the Lord has said, don't do that. Sometimes we're in some kind of failure between you and God. But in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The main point about communion tonight is whatever reason you're hurting or you have, maybe at your wit's end. Or maybe you're not at your wit's end, but there's sure a few things you'd like to change. Whatever the reason, it can change tonight with what you do with the next few minutes of your life. We wouldn't have done almost 40 years of communion if there was no power, no result in it. We do this out of obedience and remembrance of the Lord. He said, do this. He didn't say think about it. I have been in churches where people feel unworthy about taking communion. That's not what God wants you to feel. God wants you to be real with him for the next few minutes. I'm not going to ask everybody what they're doing, what they're not doing. But we're going to take a moment tonight. You can come to this altar or make an altar. Or if you don't agree with this, if you don't want to partake, you can just sit there. But I'm asking you to go forward in the communion by making an altar, by examining your heart. If there's an area where you have missed it with God, I want you to confess that to the Lord. He'll get over it real quick. And tell him what you need also. Don't get up without telling God what you need from him this Easter season.